Good morning. Please be seated. For those of you who are familiar with the lectionary for us Episcopalians, we have something called Track 1 and Track 2. And generally speaking, we stay on the track we're supposed to be on. This morning, our good lector and I found ourselves on different tracks. So I had read and studied and prepared to talk about the reading from Genesis this morning. And that's what I'll refer to. But the two readings have some things in common. And perhaps you'll see them as we talk this morning. I found putting together a homily for this morning a little bit challenging. I've been wrestling with it for a couple of weeks. I had read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I really didn't want to reflect on it much because of all the sin and wickedness, which you can also find in the reading from Hosea. I really didn't want to focus on that overwhelming sin and wickedness. I also wasn't pulled into Paul's letter to the Colossians, in which he cautions about the dangers of pride and deceit and this whole idea of being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of the flesh. Nor did giving a child a scorpion when she asks for an egg inspire me. I wanted to really get into some of the other more attractive ways that God engages and touches us. And because I've had some pretty remarkable God touches over the last week, I thought I could spin those into a homily. And I'll do a little bit of that. I'm not sure how well. So, for instance, last weekend, my husband and I, Bob, were in Detroit Lakes with my brother's family. And one morning I got to sit out on the dock. The water was very, very still. And surprisingly, my yellow lab, Lola, my dog, was also very still. She's not very still very often, and so this was quite remarkable. And we sat there and watched the water, the sky, and we listened. I noticed a hawk circling in the bright morning sky above a pair of loons and its youngster. The youngster appeared to be perfecting his diving. Perhaps you've noticed this phenomenon where, when threatened, the parent loons position themselves in front of the young loon or flank it. Then you hear the loon's tremolo, or something they call the crazy laugh, that signals danger or fear. These calls continue until the danger passes, such as when the hawk finally flew away. And then you hear the loon wail or hoot, which is another signal that says, okay, little family, let's get back together again and carry on with what we were doing. As I watched this scenario, I imagined God having provided the loons with these unique tools of self-protection. I saw God as creator, protector, during the common act of predator and prey. The hawk did leave the scene to find better prey elsewhere, and I learned later that hawks actually prefer ducks to loons. So on balance, nature played itself out the way it was supposed to. But this little drama stuck with me over the next week. So there wasn't really a homily in that experience that I could clearly connect to the readings for today. But I went on with my own special experiences and started digging. The other part of that weekend was getting to sail with my brother. We've sailed together almost all our lives. My brother just recently replaced his keelboat with a much smaller boat, a short 14-foot boat with only one sail. One sail. It's very challenging to sail a boat like that. It has a much higher probability of capsizing in gusts and sudden wind changes. I could talk about how sailing in the gusty wind and choppy water knocked me about in that boat and produced some very interesting bruises on my legs. There was also no small amount of anxiety because I was supposed to know really well how to sail this boat, but I wasn't familiar with this kind of sailing anymore. But it also reminded me of all those perils of wind and water. Sailing humbles me, but I'm also liberated by it. So interestingly, within the loon story, we hear that outcry perhaps against Sodom and Gomorrah and sense God's intervening mercy. In my sailing adventure, I got knocked about and found, even in that knocking about, that some kind of a door opened up to both strengthen and humble me. The loons and the hawk and sailing in rough water say something to me about the balance between grace and danger. So, okay, I've alluded to some themes of the scripture readings, but not directly. And I've had the opportunity to provide some stories that connect my understanding of salvation to some experience. Salvation, as it presents itself to us in some very ordinary ways, in very common situations. The scriptures, however, ask me to go a little bit deeper. Let me say a little bit about how I think these scriptures tell us some important things about salvation, about mercy and goodness and forgiveness. I think they also say something about the great tension between the certainty and the mystery of God, the certainty and the mystery of how God works within us. In the reading from Genesis, the track I went down, Abraham is having this conversation with God about this group of people who've gotten totally carried away. They've been carried off. They're going to party and do who knows what. And they've gotten themselves totally lost, deep down in sin, just as we ourselves get lost sometimes. Our passions and our personalities sometimes lead us to think, do, and say things that don't make much sense and are sometimes hurtful to ourselves or to others. We all can get lost in that morass of political, social, institutional, economic, and personal chaos. It's around us all the time. And there are these shifting norms of our culture as they continue to confuse and distract us. We also may lose our bearings in that regard and find it really difficult to maintain a righteous approach to our relationships and to being in community. The departure from our norms of respect and the institutions we are supposed to trust, such as during these recent congressional hearings, are disorienting and perhaps enough for us to look for our own Sodom and Gomorrah. Why not? When things seem to be falling apart around us, we can be drawn to the unrighteous. And we are amazed at times like these that God and many of our neighbors are able to remain merciful and forgiving. The mystery in Genesis is that God does the compassionate thing. It doesn't look like the reason thing. He decides to free all of these people, even if only five out of all of them are righteous. He decides that he will free all of them, free them from destruction. So no matter what group we may fall into, at any given moment, the righteous or the wicked, the hawks or the loons, we are released from destruction. That's what this story tells to me. And we are freed to discover and be our best and natural selves. And while it is difficult to think of anything as certain these days, God provides certainty in his love and his grace towards us. You see, the rational thing from our point of view would be, God destroy all of these wicked people and save the true believers. But God has said for certain, God has certified that we're going to hang together and get through this messy life side by side, like it or not. God has created a universe where we will be challenged by our relationships with each other because we continue to judge each other and we judge ourselves. It's really not God's wish that there be a lot of collateral damage when life becomes traumatic, at the time when we lose a loved one, when there is injury or hurt, when there is a grave injustice, or when our lives fall apart. Rather, God helps us to focus. He helps us to focus on what is healing, how we may be healed, how we may love again and be loved again, and how to be reconciled with each other. Jesus, in the gospel lesson today, reminds us of the randomness of human conduct, this vacillation between righteousness and evil, if you will. He says that one day your brother may withhold the bread that you desperately need, while another may give you a whole bakery of goods. One sister may bless you and another curse you. One brother may be captured by a twisted philosophy and another brother wise and open-hearted. Most of us, of course, fall somewhere in between, full of goodness and love most of the times, sometimes dragged down by our real or perceived feelings. And our challenge is to find a way through the stingy acts and remember that those stingy acts are usually caused by someone's pain or loss, their fear or anger. Paul tells us to hold on to Jesus, who assists us in resisting what he calls self-abasement, that tendency to be shamed ourselves, and be fully alive in Christ's mercy and compassion. I see this effort on our parts to deal with our failures and the failures of others as a journey toward forgiveness and compassion, certainty and mystery. The portion of the Lord's Prayer that is written in the gospel lesson today contains the appeal we make over and over again for daily bread, for a blessing rather than a curse, to whoever sins forgiven, and importantly, to learn to forgive each other. The Lord's Prayer for me is an acknowledgement of our separation from God and our deep desire to be united with the divine certainty and the mystery of our Creator. Abraham asked God for unconditional forgiveness, forgiveness for all, righteous or unrighteous. He asked God to heal the separation between God and God's people despite all that unruliness. God asks us to enter the mystery and the certainty of his love in the very instances when we face some time of trial, where we must confront the stranger, where we must deal with the enemy, where we must try to understand the other. God asks us to be as irrational as God herself is. God asks that we breach the gap, close the separation between her and us and between us and others. Yes, we have our shortcomings, but we are fully capable of offering mercy and compassion in being fully present to each other, listening to each other without judgment, communicating assurance of God's love, and blessing each other. In that way, we become pastoral to each other. We invite our neighbors into both the mystery and the certainty of a generous and living God. Jesus, after all, tells us in Luke that we would, despite our weakness and fear, give that child the egg and the fish. In the end, we could be as generous and as merciful as God. At the end of the gospel, Jesus instructs us to open the door of our hearts and enter into the great mystery of life with God as its center. And he assures us that God will give us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And he suggests, I believe, that when we witness the hawk and the loons, when we ride out the rough waters and gusty winds, we come to know the mysterious and certain balance in the whole of creation. Amen.